Rule number three. Wearing the fact that you are talented on your t-shirt is always a smart move. Saying, "Sure, no problem," to Mrs. Hunter was basically the hardest thing I had ever had to do in my entire life. I don't even know how I made my way to my desk. There were so many tears in my eyes over the fact that I was going to have to move to the back of the room to sit by Stuart and Joey. But somehow, I managed. As I opened the lid of my desk and started taking my stuff out, Erica asked, looking concerned, "Ellie, what are you doing?" "I'm moving," I whispered. I had to whisper because I was afraid if I started talking in a normal voice, I'd cry for real. "To the back of the room, to make way for the new girl. Her name is Cheyenne." "What?" Erica looked like she was about to cry when she heard that. "No. That's what Mrs. Hunter wanted to see you about?" Caroline and Sophie, who sit in the row in front of us, overheard and came rushing right over. Well, except for Sophie, who had to hobble over. "What? Oh my goodness, no!" Sophie's big brown eyes filled up with tears just like mine. Only because it was Sophie, hers did it even more dramatically. "That's not fair. You have to sit in the back with Rosemary and those boys?" "It won't be so bad," I tried to assure her, even though of course I knew it would. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure Patrick Day picks his nose. I don't think he eats it, but there's always a chance. "I'll still see you guys at recess, and lunch, of course." "I think it's nice of Allie to move," Caroline said after a moment of stunned silence, "to let the new girl have a chance to sit near the front." Though, truthfully, judging by her expression, it didn't seem as if she really believed what was happening was such a good thing. Probably, she was thinking the same thing I was about Patrick and his nostrils. "Yeah," I said. "I'm letting the new girl have a chance to sit near the front." Except, of course, I wasn't, really. I was just doing what Mrs. Hunter had asked me to do. It wasn't like I could have said no. Well, I could have, I guess, but then Mrs. Hunter wouldn't have considered me a joy anymore. Erica's eyes were full of tears, too, I noticed, as she and Caroline and Sophie helped me gather all my things out of my desk. "I don't want to sit by some new girl," Erica whispered to me. "I mean, I'm sure she's very nice." Erica hardly ever said mean things about other people, especially people she hadn't even met yet. She tried to get along with everyone and to make everyone else get along as well. "But I'm going to miss you so much." "I know," I said, my chin starting to tremble, but I forced it to stop. "But I know you like Cheyenne." Actually, and this was a little bit selfish of me, I really hoped she wouldn't like Cheyenne. At least, not better than she liked me. When Rosemary saw me coming toward the last row where she sat with the boys, her face brightened up like a Christmas tree that had just been plugged in. "Oh my gosh, Allie," she cried. "Are you moving back here?" "I sure am," I said, trying to give her a big smile, while at the same time glowering at the three boys who groaned at the sight of me.
"Oh, no," Stuart cried. "Not her."
"Anyone but Finkel," Patrick yelled. "Boys," Mrs. Hunter said in her most disapproving voice.
She'd stood up behind her desk, which was at the back of the room, close to the last row where I'd now be sitting. She'd put Stuart, Patrick, and Joey back there so she could keep an eye on them from her desk. Further proof they were the worst boys in the whole class.
"Allie is going to be sitting with you from now on, and I expect you to show her the same courtesy you show Rosemary."
"Yeah," I said, narrowing my eyes at them. "Because if you don't, You'll be sorry. I'm not scared of boys. That's because I have little brothers. And I know that when it comes to a fight with boys, basically, they are just going to hit you, you are going to hit them back, and then it will be over. Girls, on the other hand, scare me sometimes. Not girls like Erica or Caroline or Sophie, but other girls. That's because girls don't fight like boys. Girls use what my Uncle Jay calls psychological warfare. This is when they tell you they're going to hit you, but they don't say when. So you are living in constant fear of being hit. Or they will just not speak to you at all. Or instead, talk about you behind your back. Or even call you mean names to your face, which in some ways is almost worse than being hit. At least when you get hit, and you get it over with. With girls, it can just go on and on and on and on and on. "Here you go, Allie," Joey Field said, holding open the top of my new desk, which was right next to his. "Ruff, ruff, grr." "Oh, my goodness," Sophie said faintly, staring at him. I had to take all my stuff out of her hands because I was afraid she'd drop it in her alarm. "Joey," Rosemary yelled at him. "Cut it out with the dog stuff already." "Allie," she said to me, "did you see what I got for Christmas?" She showed me the brand new cell phone she was holding, the buttons of which she was swiftly pressing. "Check it out. It's got every game you can imagine. I can even make little movies. I want to make one of Musi. Can I go home with you for lunch today and make one? Please?" I couldn't believe Rosemary got a cell phone for Christmas. A cell phone that made movies. And all I got was a wraparound ballet sweater. And some boxcar children books. And hair clips. And cherry chapstick. And a fringe suede tote. And, okay, a PlayStation with Dance Party America. But I have to share that with my whole family. "You better not let Mrs. Hunter see that," Erica warned Rosemary with a nervous look in Mrs. Hunter's direction. "It might end up in her drawer." Mrs. Hunter has a special drawer in which she keeps an entire collection of confiscated electronic items, including Game Boys, cell phones, iPods, cameras, walkie-talkies, and a vast assortment of radio-controlled vehicles, none of which she allows in her classroom. Once she confiscates them, she gives them back at the end of the week, if their owners behave. "Oh, right," Rosemary said, and hid her new phone in her pocket. "If you're going to sit over here," Stuart Maxwell said to me, "you better be ready to face brain-eating zombies." He held up a particularly grotesque drawing of a pair of zombies that were doing just that. He apparently did this in an effort to make me go sit somewhere else, like I had a choice. "Nice try," I said, dumping all my stuff into the empty desk next to his. I'd arrange it nicely later. But I could draw better zombies than that in my sleep.
"Oh, yeah?" Stuart looked offended. "With maggots coming out of their eyes?"
"Maggots," I said, shutting the top of my desk. "And slime."
"You're disgusting," Stuart said to me.
He looked over my shoulder at Joey Fields.
"She's disgusting."
"Ruff," Joey said, his eyes sparkling behind the sleep crust.
"Arf."
I turned my head to look at him. "Seriously?" I said. "Shut up."
"Oh."
Sophie looked like she was about to faint. Sophie, besides being the most beautiful girl in our class, is also just about the most girly.
"Allie, are you sure you're going to be all right back here?"
"She'll be fine," Caroline said, handing over my pencil box and some of my books. She sounded heartier than she looked, though.
"Won't you, Allie?"
"I'll be fine," I assured them. I knew I would be. The boys didn't scare me, even though I could see that Patrick was edging closer and closer to the top of his desk, getting ready to make a leap to do some air guitar. He didn't dare, though, because Mrs. Hunter was still in the room. She'd just gone to the front of the classroom in response to a knock on the door. "I'll see you guys at recess," I said to Sophie, Caroline, and Erica, closing my desktop. "It will be okay." It was a little bit weird that I was the one telling them it was going to be okay, when the truth was, I could have used some reassurance. Then Mrs. Hunter was saying, "Everyone to your seats, please." And Caroline, Erica, and Sophie were scurrying away, and I sank down into my new chair, thinking how far away the chalkboard seemed from back here, and how weird it was to be looking at the back of Erica's head instead of the side of her face, as usual. As if that weren't enough to make it sink in how much things were changing all around me, Stuart Maxwell whispered,
"Finkle, what about this one? This one scare you?"
while holding up a new zombie drawing under his desk. And Joey Fields kept going,
"Bruff, arf,"
beneath his breath, just to annoy me. I had to mutter,
"Quit it, both of you,"
to them, while wondering how on earth Rosemary had ever stood it back here for so long by herself. And then Mrs. Hunter pulled someone into the room from the hallway and said,
"Class, I'd like to introduce you to our new classmate, Cheyenne O'Malley. Cheyenne comes all the way from Ontario, Canada, so I'd like all of you to be extra nice to her because this is her first time in our country."
I sat up straighter in my seat so I could get a look at Cheyenne. I had never seen anyone from Canada before, that I knew of. And I wasn't disappointed either. Cheyenne was almost as beautiful as Sophie, and maybe even girlier, with her long, curly, dark hair held back in a single sparkly clip shaped like a flower, and a long-sleeved shirt that had the letters TNT on the front with a picture of an explosion on it. Underneath the explosion, it said that TNT stood for talent, not talk. This was very clever, I realized, because by wearing that shirt, Cheyenne was letting the whole class know right away that although she was very talented, she didn't have to talk about it. I wished I had been smart enough to wear a shirt like that on my first day at Pine Heights Elementary. Besides the shirt, Cheyenne was also wearing a jean miniskirt with brown suede zip-up high-heeled boots that were exactly like the kind I'd asked for Christmas, but hadn't received, because my mom said I'm too young for high-heeled zip-up boots, and that I'd turn my ankle in them anyway. Instead, I'd gotten the fringe suede tote bag. Cheyenne's mom obviously didn't feel the same way about high-heeled zip-up boots as my mom did. Cheyenne clearly had the nicest mom in the whole world. Or else, she just had very strong ankles.
"Cheyenne," Mrs. Hunter said, "would you like to tell the class a little bit about yourself?"
"Certainly, Mrs. Hunter," Cheyenne said, not looking at all nervous the way I had on my first day when Mrs. Hunter had asked me to tell the class a little bit about myself. She smiled at the class and said,
"Well, like your teacher said, my name is Cheyenne, and I come from Toronto, which is the capital of Ontario, which is a province of Canada that borders the American states of Michigan, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. So, I actually know quite a lot about American culture, and I've even watched most of your TV shows and eaten in the majority of your fast food restaurants before. Toronto is the largest city in Canada. It's way bigger than this town. In Toronto, my parents and I live in an apartment in a high-rise building, but here, we're renting a house while my father is on sabbatical working on his book. His book is about American politics. He's considered an international expert on the subject."
"Well," Mrs. Hunter said when Cheyenne stopped speaking and looked over at her expectantly,
"that's very interesting. We've learned a lot about Toronto and your father, but we haven't learned very much about you, Cheyenne. Is there anything you'd like us to know about you?"
I remembered when Mrs. Hunter had asked me this in front of the whole class on my first day, and how nervous I'd gotten. My knees had started to shake, and I'd wanted to die on the spot. I felt sorry for Cheyenne, wondering if she felt the same way. I hoped if her knees started shaking, her ankles wouldn't turn in her high-heeled boots. But if she felt nervous, you couldn't tell at all.
"Certainly," Cheyenne said. "I'm considered highly intelligent, and I enjoy water sports such as swimming and sailing, especially on Lake Ontario." "Thank you, Cheyenne," Mrs. Hunter said before any of us had a chance to applaud. Well, I don't know if anyone but me felt like clapping, but I thought a speech that good deserved some applause. Cheyenne hadn't said once. "You may take your seat. Your desk is right next to Erica Harrington. Erica, will you show her?"
Erica waved her arms to show Cheyenne where her, or really my, desk was. Cheyenne smiled graciously and went to sit down at her new desk. I watched as Erica said hello to her and helped her put away her things. All of the things Cheyenne owned were very grown-up looking. For instance, her pencil box didn't have Hello Kitty, Webkinz, or Bratz on it. It was just plain, which actually seemed kind of boring to me, but whatever. If I were starting a new school in a new country, I'd have gotten horses on everything. Or at the very least, rainbows or unicorns. I saw that Caroline and Sophie had turned around in their seats in front of Erica's row to say hello. So had some of the other girls. Cheyenne, I could tell, was going to be popular. Probably because of her t-shirt. Who wouldn't want to be friends with someone who was all talent and no talk? Wearing the fact that you are talented on your t-shirt is always a smart move. This is a rule. I was going to have to wait until recess to talk to her, of course, because I was stuck in the back with Rosemary and the Terror Triplets. There was no way I could even throw Cheyenne a special Welcome to Pine Heights cootie catcher from here. It would never reach her. I was stuck in the way back of Mrs. Hunter's fourth grade class with the nose pickers and the zombie brain eaters. Who knew if I'd ever even make it out alive?